Hey, patrons and YouTube members, and welcome back to your exclusive weekly patron cast. This time, season 3, episode 14, and as always, there are three things I want to talk about. The first one is the channel, a recap of the previous week, what I'm working on for this week, some good news about sponsors and other things like that. The second one will be about Odyssey, and specifically asking you the question, should I stay on this platform even though this company really does not reflect my values at all in terms of what content they accept or not? So I'm asking you the question openly, what do you guys think? Guys and girls, sorry. And the last one will be more personal. I have plans to move in with my girlfriend, but there are some hurdles along the way that I want to talk about and maybe see if you have been in a similar situation and if you have any advice to give. So let's begin with the channel. So as I mentioned last week, I had been on a few podcasts, and the one where I talked with Brody Robertson from the Brody on Linux and Tech Over Tea channels on YouTube, this one is live. So you can go check it out on the Tech Over Tea channel, and I should have a link in the Patreon post or in the YouTube community publication. You should find a link to it if you're interested. We had a nice talk. It was very interesting. We broached on a lot of Linux-related topics. It was really cool. And my intervention on the other podcast I was in, which is the WatchMind Privacy podcast, it hasn't been published just yet. I'll let you know once it is. And as per this week, I will be talking, I think it's tomorrow morning, with Xero Linux, which is someone who also has a small YouTube channel, but also makes the Xero Linux distribution. So we're going to talk about Linux. I already was on his podcast, must have been 6 months or 8 months ago. And so we're going to redo it again because it's fun. So again, I'll let you know once this is live. So what happened last week? Well, I only published two videos as mentioned previously, because there were tons of administrative tasks to do and to complete. So the PDF video is doing better than I hoped. I knew it would grow and it would work well over time, because that's a thing that people will ask and will try to find a solution. And I don't think there are that many answers for that on YouTube. But I didn't expect it to start that well. I was really expecting it to be at the low end of in terms of views. But no, it's actually working pretty well. So that's cool. And judging from the comments and the positive feedback, it seems like people also have a lot of issues with PDFs, which is, yeah, I mean, I guess I was on point with that one. I had said it would not have a sponsor, but Chasm VNC swooped in at the last minute and decided to sponsor it. So yes, I still have a pretty much uninterrupted streak of sponsored videos that runs, I don't know, maybe 2 years or something, or maybe I'm forgetting something, but yeah, it has been a while since I had a not sponsored video, which, I mean, is good for my company, I guess, and it's worse for you who have to watch the sponsor segments if you already know about the sponsors. So I have good news on that front as well. Chasm, which just sponsored that PDF video, they want to do 2 videos per month, which is cool, because previously it was only one-offs when I had an available slot. And apparently they're seeing really good feedback from my audience on their product. People are telling them to fix specific things, or can they please work on certain feature, and so on and so. And they're really happy with the results, so I'm pretty happy about that one as well. And honestly, it's a really good product. If you're looking for a remote desktop client, that's way better than the usual VNC stuff. They have something really much better than that. They have better frame rates, better compression, better performance. And they also have a workspaces app that lets you run containers and stream them to your browser, so you can run distros, apps, etc. And what's best is that it's open source and self-hostable, so you can access all of their stuff without giving them a cent if you don't want to pay. That's the kind of sponsor I really like to have. Now, I'm also in the process of getting Proton Mail on board. They saw good results from the one sponsored video we did last month, I think it was in March, and they would like to sign a 12-month order for one video per month. So I'm waiting for them to sign the purchase order, or let me know if there's something in there that's missing or whatever. It's the first time I'm doing a purchase order. Usually it's just sponsorship agreements and contracts, and I never made that sort of like, hey, here is an order for you to buy ads on my channel. So it's a new document. They'll tell me something is missing. And Squarespace also wants to renew the contract with 2 videos per month until the end of the year, which is also pretty cool. That's a sponsor I debated on because it's already a pretty big company. You already see it on a lot of channels on YouTube. And they're not the typical company I work with. They're not specifically focused on Linux. They're not open source. But I still think their product solves a need. It adds value. I liked using it. I like how it works. It's fast. It gives good results. So it's not perfect, but I think it's still a valuable sponsor. It offers a good product that I think I can recommend without any issues. So yeah, the channel is in good shape for now. I have contracts signed with Linode, with KernelCare, with Chasm, Squarespace, Tuxedo, ProtonMail. So I should have solid sponsors until at least the end of the year, which is making me feel very safe about revenue and about the company, which is really cool. Now, I'm still waiting for Linode to tell me when they want me to change the mentions, because you might not know that, but they were purchased by Akamai. They'll be renamed soon. But for now, they don't want to change the branding on YouTube videos. They want to keep talking about the Linode brand, even though if you get onto your Linode dashboard, I think it already says Akamai. So yeah, I'm waiting for them to let me know when they want me to change that. Apparently, from what I'm hearing, talking with my contacts there about the transition, it seems like it's super smooth. They will retain all autonomy. They just want to better integrate Linode's products with the CDN, the content distribution network that Akamai has. So I'm not expecting big changes apart from the branding, and I see absolutely no reason to stop using Linode for now. Like, both are respectable companies. I have no worries about this for now. We'll see in the future, but honestly, I'm not worried. So that's it for the company / revenue sponsor related stuff. And don't hesitate to let me know if this kind of stuff is absolutely uninteresting to you, so I know whether to keep talking about it or not. If you absolutely hate this thing and it makes you feel like you're talking to a corporation, I don't know, let me know. I mean, I'm talking about it because it's news for me and for my channel, but if you're not interested in that, tell me. I'll replace that topic with something else for the other patron casts. And so for the content planning for this week, I'll be working on 3 videos. There's the news one, obviously, at the end of the week. There's one about the tools and applications you can use to make your Linux system safer and more private. And there's the infamous Linux distro tier list. So the tier list will be including distros that I used personally. I will not be able to cover every single distro everyone ever used, of course. And it will be done in the same style as my desktop environment tier list. So it's not just going to be my face over tier maker. It will be more edited, more interesting than that, with actual captures of the distros and stuff like that. And among the distros there, for now on my list, I have Elementary OS, Fedora, Ubuntu, Arch, Solus, KDE Neon, Kubuntu, Linux Mint, Zorin OS, Pop OS, SteamOS / Holo ISO, Manjaro, OpenSUSE Leap, Linux from scratch, Tuxedo OS, and I think that covers about everything that I tried, but I'm not sure. So I need to go back in time, looking at my videos and looking at distro lists to see if I'm forgetting something that I used in passing. We'll see. Now, for the Linux security / privacy apps and tools, I already have a solid list in mind. It's not a guide to harden Linux for enterprise use or for servers. It's more of a general guide for things that you can look at to make your system just a bit more robust, to make use of a bunch of features that are rarely used, monitor your internet connection, secure your network usage, delete old files, completely delete them, shred them, encrypt stuff like that. And also antiviruses, VPN, stuff like that. Basically, it's an all-in toolbox of things you can use on Linux to try and make sure your system is as secure and private as can be within reasonable time frames and expectations. And of course, with the Linux news video, well, I do not know what will be in it. I haven't checked on what happened at the very end of the week since I published the last one, so we'll see if there's something interesting or not. Now, let's move on to the second topic, and that's about Odyssey. This is very open to discussion. So you might not know this, but my YouTube channel is not just... You might not even know that I have a YouTube channel if you came here for the audio podcast exclusively. But I have a big YouTube... Let's say a medium-small YouTube channel. Big in terms of talking about Linux, I guess. So I have a YouTube channel, but it's also on two other platforms. It's on Odyssey, and it's on PeerTube. And I've been on Odyssey for a while... And while it performs a bit better than PeerTube in terms of view, but not by much, it generates no revenue at all, just like PeerTube. But that's not really the issue I have with this. If it doesn't cost me a thing, but it doesn't give me anything, I don't care. As long as I don't have to pay, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 bucks a month to host my thing, if it gives me back nothing, as long as it's not some kind of situation like that, then I don't care. I can leave the videos up. But since I've started looking at some sponsors and decided to stop working with those I felt uncomfortable with, which are Skillshare and OnlyOffice, I'm also looking at Odyssey and wondering if I'm comfortable with my presence there. So, for example, I stopped working with Skillshare as a sponsor because its value became unclear to me. I used it for a while and I found a lot of interesting things. But after a few months, I just realized that basically you'll find everything that's on Skillshare, you'll find it on YouTube, and probably higher quality, better explained, and for free. And apparently, I also learned that they have a terrible customer policy, they charge people in advance without warning, so I just stopped the sponsoring agreement because, yeah, I felt it was not a product I was comfortable recommending. And for OnlyOffice, it's just that they're owned by a Russian company, they didn't outright condemn the war in Ukraine, and they did not really answer my questions about that. So yeah, I'm not sponsored by them anymore, and I'm in the process of moving from OnlyOffice to Collabora. I need to take time to set that up, but yeah, for now, I don't feel comfortable working with them in the current political climate. It just makes me uneasy. And so for video platforms, that's the same. And let's be honest, I can't say I'm 100% comfortable with YouTube as a video platform, because it definitely leans on the side of abusing copyright, it has censorship policies that are kinda weird, and yeah, it's really far from perfect, but it's a platform that I feel is safe for users. You don't get a lot of completely batshit crazy or hateful content, and generally when it happens to be published, it gets removed relatively quickly. On PeerTube, I'm also pretty safe from that. I chose an instance that is focused on tech, on privacy, on learning, and it's good. Now, PeerTube is another problem. I'll have to study it because I already used up half of my 50 gigs video storage quota on that instance, on the Tilvids instance, and we'll have to see if they can extend that. I currently donate to the instance, which is, I think, only fair because I use storage space and server bandwidth there, but I can't see myself paying more than what I pay currently because it just doesn't generate any revenue at all, or at least no visible revenue. And so I'm a YouTube channel. I want people to be able to see my videos, but I'm also a company and I cannot justify paying to host for videos that people don't really watch and for people that don't necessarily contribute either. So yeah, it's hard to say because people watching on PeerTube might be you guys, it might be Patreon subscribers, but I have no way of telling that. And so at some point, if to stay on the Tilvids instance, I have to pay like, I don't know, 10 or 15 bucks per month, that might not work for me. And hosting my own instance would cost me about the same. So we'll have to see at some point. And that leaves Odyssey, which is a platform I have zero affection for. It's based on crypto, which I strongly dislike personally, and it's what I personally call a pit of darkness in terms of platform. It's where people who were banned from YouTube went to spread weird misinformation, hateful opinions, and generally just bigoted, racist, and despicable videos. Now, there's also some good stuff here. I'm not saying that every person that publishes their video on Odyssey is a terrible human being. I'm in here, some other Linux content creators are in there. There are plenty of good stuff as well. But the problem is, you get put side by side. You're put side by side with really disgusting content. And so, basically, you're guilty by association, and I'm really starting to get uncomfortable with this. And also, Odyssey is a platform I don't interact with, because looking at the comments there, they're mostly horrible. Generally very negative, very aggressive, very bigoted, and generally the kind of opinions I really do not want to read. So I don't go there anymore to read any of this. And yeah, I'm very uncomfortable having my face and my videos placed side by side with racist content and conspiracy theories and stuff like that. And I feel like by staying there, it's kind of like I'm endorsing the viewpoints of that company and that I'm agreeing with their complete non-censorship policy, which I absolutely do not. I do think that some things should not be allowed to be published online or spread if they are dangerous for people, if they are clearly misinformation, like clear blatant lies that have been debunked by real facts. At some point, you have to not leave that online. It's no longer freedom of speech. It's danger. And the team at Odyssey is also pretty horrible. Like, just look at their Twitter account and what they regularly publish. They don't raise their platform by its own values. They raise their platform by basically shitting all over the competitors. It's not, hey, we're doing this better. It's, oh, look at how stupid they are. We're so much better. I don't like that kind of interaction. They also made a lot of openly sexist jokes on their Twitter account. They openly said that Nazi posts on white superiority should not be removed from their platform. They openly accepted videos saying that mass shootings in schools aren't real, or videos actively encouraging dangerous behaviors related to COVID. I'm not comfortable with that. I think this crosses a line. And so I'm torn because I know that some people really like watching stuff on Odyssey because they really don't like YouTube. But I'm also thinking that I have PeerTube now, and I mean, if I remove Odyssey, then I'll make all efforts to support PeerTube, to have at least one alternative platform out there for people who really do not want to use Google services or YouTube. I totally get that. But yeah, now I have PeerTube, all my videos are there, the community is nicer, I prefer the platform a lot. Like, it's fully open source, it's developed by people that I actually like. They're French, by the way, which is pretty cool. So I'm asking you, what do you think? Do you use Odyssey? Do you watch my stuff on Odyssey? Are you okay with their policy and general tone? Have you just tuned out all the weird stuff because you've been using it enough so that it doesn't get recommended to you? Do you think I should stay? Do you think I should leave? I'm really open to discussion here. I personally, I'm leaning on the idea of, like, stopping the syncing there. Just stop syncing my new videos and maybe entirely delete the channel there. Because, yeah, I just don't want to endorse this company. But if there's a lot of people using it, watching it, among you that actually support the channel, like, sure, if you really like it, I'll keep it, and it's okay. I mean, it's not like I have to interact with anyone there, but it would still feel like burying my head in the sand, which I don't really like. Okay, now that last topic will be pretty personal. It talks about dating, personal life, anxieties, and generally it might be way too much information for some of you, so feel free to skip this topic if that's not your cup of tea. I absolutely understand. I'm not asking anyone to be my shrink or anything. It's just something that affected me recently, and I want to talk about it. So I've been dating someone for a bit more than a year now. The issue is she doesn't live in the same city as me. I live in Brest. She lives in Lorient. There's about an hour and a half drive from between the two cities. And so we only see each other on Wednesday nights and on Thursdays. And we're both getting very tired of that driving back and forth and the constraints it puts on us. Because you have to plan your entire week around this. Because since we only see each other two nights and one day, on that day, I don't want to work. I want to spend my time with her. And she doesn't want to have anything to do. But since she doesn't have a 2 days consecutive weekend and her other rest day is on Sunday, her Thursday is also basically the only day she can do any administrative work, like, I don't know, having medical meetings and stuff like that, medical appointments or taking care of her cat or stuff like that. So it's starting to be an imposition on the both of us. And so we're talking about moving in together. But this comes with a lot of anxiety for me. And don't get me wrong, I absolutely want to move in with her. We're really connected. It clicks. It works really well. It's great. But I have no fear about moving in. But I haven't lived with someone else since my divorce 5 years ago. And this is pretty anxiety inducing because I am very used to have my apartment for myself, to do exactly what I want without many compromises most of the day. And basically, I turn into some kind of loner, and my job absolutely reinforces that because I work from home, I don't have any colleagues, and unless I decide to go out and meet my friends, I don't see many people. So of course, I'm starting to think that I'm going to be pretty bad at this and not a great person to live with. I also know I should be clever enough to make concessions that I'm absolutely willing to make, and we're definitely both very adult in the sense that we're absolutely able to talk about things and explain when we don't like things and to accept to make compromises. I'm not really worried about that. It's just I'm sort of afraid that I will not be the best person to live with because I'm very independent and I don't know if I'm going to be able to share so much time with someone else without having to retreat sometimes in my office or somewhere where I'm alone. That's basically what I'm thinking. Then there's the second problem of the I want to live abroad at some point that I haven't put into motion yet. Basically, I haven't put it into motion because I started dating this person. And this is basically not possible right now, and it also won't be when we move in together because I can't very well just up and leave for 3 months or more without her and abandoning her and, yeah, saying, you know what, I'm going to go live a cool life in another country while you stay in the apartment that we now share and see you in 3 months. No, that's not how you work out a life with someone else. She says that she would be okay with it, but personally, I don't think I would. I think I would feel very guilty. It would feel very selfish to do something like that. And then there's the choice of where we should live, because she has a job in Lorient that she absolutely loves. She loves her colleagues, and there are opportunities for advancement in the near future. And me, personally, my job can be done from virtually anywhere. But at the same time, Lorient is way smaller than Brest, where I live. It's like a quarter of the size. There's a lot less to do, and she doesn't have any friends there, apart from her work colleagues. While I have a very large circle of friends here in Brest that I have known for more than half of my life. So we're trying to decide where we're going. Is she moving in with me? Or am I moving to Lorient, where we'll have to find a new place because her apartment would not work for two people. It's too small. So on the one hand, I want to stay where I live because I bought that apartment. It's nice. It could host two people. My friends are living there. And the city will be more interesting for the both of us. But at the same time, it feels super selfish to ask her to move in, to leave a job she likes, when my job can be done from anywhere. And so, yeah, rebuilding another start in another company with other people, it's not easy. It's not always fun. So it's that's where we're at, basically. We're trying to decide what to do, and it's not that easy. And yeah, I know that personally I would love to stay where I live and I would love for her to move in, but yeah, I know it sucks to ask someone to do that kind of stuff. It's a big sacrifice, and my sacrifice would be my circle of friends and a few activities and places that I really enjoy in Brest, which I just could not do anymore. My friends I could go and see, an hour and a half drive is okay, but I could not see them as often as I do. There are downsides to both situations. And so for now, she leans on the side of moving in with me because she thinks that having a social circle around us will be better when we live together. If we really start getting on each other's nerves, at least we can get out of the apartment because we have other people to see. And she also wants to live in Brest because the city is just bigger. There are more libraries and more bookstores, which is what she's really into. She enjoys the city, but at the same time, I just feel bad, like having her leave her job. So what I'm trying to say is, do you have any experience with this kind of situation, this kind of decision? And if you had a similar experience, how did you solve it? How did you get past that sort of guilt of maybe having someone give up something that feels more than what you would have given up by moving? Let me know what you think. And as I said, we are absolutely very mature about this. We talk about this a lot. We know how to express what we feel and what we like and what we dislike. So I guess the real thing isn't really what we should do. It's more like in How much time do we give ourselves to do it? That's probably more the question. But yeah, it's exciting, it's really cool, and I can't wait, but the not knowing when it will happen and how it will happen is what is killing me, basically, because I hate uncertainty, which is stupid because my job is basically managing uncertainty every time I publish a video. But yeah, I don't like uncertainty. I don't know if I'm gonna have to sell my flat or rent it. I don't know if I can start doing some renovations because the ones that are left would cost more than what they would bring in terms of price increase for the apartment. We're getting kind of stuck there. She can't look for another apartment in Lorient because hers is not great. She wanted to buy something, but then she realized maybe we're going to move in together, so she's not going to buy right now. We're kind of stuck until we really commit to something. And of course, if I'm moving to Lorient, it's really easy. I can just move in, like, we find the flat, and in a month I'm there and it's done. And if she has to move, she has to change jobs, find a new job. It's going to be way longer. So we don't really know where we stand right now. I guess we're just going to decide that, yeah, it's Brest, unless she can't find a job in, I don't know, 4 or 6 months. And in that case, I'll be moving in Lorient because, yeah, we're not going to wait like for 2 years until she can find a job that she likes. So, yeah, if you have any experience about this kind of situation, let me know, and let me know how you solved it, how you managed to not have someone build resentment over what they had to give up. And yeah, let me know how it went. And also let me know what you think about the sponsors that are coming in, about my approach to Odyssey, and if you think I should stay there or not. I'm open to discussion on every of these subjects, every single one of them. So, as always, thank you all for listening to the podcast. Thank you all for supporting the channel. And I guess you'll hear me in the next one. Bye!